Welcome to Take a Hike. David Wallace is in studio with me today again, and we're going to be talking about at least a commonly known plant called elkweed, but not so commonly seen. And as I was reading the description about it, I didn't realize that this particular plant, it reminds me of kind of like a century plant that blooms once every 10 years. So why don't you talk about this?
Yeah, sure. The plant is elkweed. It's probably its most accepted common name, although you may know it, or many of us may know it, by other names like the giant gentian or the monument plant. There's a few other names there that it's known as. But the giant gentian is one of these plants. The elkweed is one of these plants that are known as monocarpic. That means it lives for a long time in the vegetative state, and then it blooms and dies, sort of like the century plant that you mentioned. You probably see these, or you will see these periodically here and there as you hike in the mountains, but they come out in blooms once in a while in huge quantities, this synchronized blooming, and that's what we have right now in one of our local mountains. I just saw it. It was really neat, and I'd like to share that information with others.
So is it all over, or is it just in particular canyons?
You tend to see it here and there. Let me put it that way. It's just a few flowers here and there, a few plants at any given year. But when one of these mass bloomings events happens, and they'll be able to have hundreds of flowers in one local area. I can't say for sure on how widespread that is right now, but we certainly have it going on in at least one location in Logan Canyon.
So the three-letter word "why" comes to mind. I would imagine that a lot of seeds germinate together, and so the plants go through this eight-year cycle?
Well, this year's cycle might be between 20 and 80 years.
Oh, okay. So anywhere between that amount of time.
Now, I'm not the researcher on this, but I have read some of the information about it. And it's believed that the plant will just live in the vegetative state. It's maybe a foot or so tall, as stripe-like leaves that one of his other names is deer's ear, because how it looks like when it's not blooming. And it just lives and stores up energy, and something triggers it, some environmental event, and it might be a particularly wet summer. It's suggested that about 4 years before it blooms, a wet summer has triggered the changes that will lead to the blooming.
That kind of adaptation just kind of fascinates me, that far in advance, if that's what happens, and then several years later, it's like in a desert, I guess, when you have a lot of seeds lying dormant, and then you have a really wet spring, and voila, you have lots of color.
You know, these wild plants have to have lots of strategies for survival, and many plants, they'll have different factors that are needed before everything has to come together right before the plant will germinate, for example. It's really interesting. I know enough to know I don't know a lot about it, but it's certainly an interesting situation and a survival factor for these plants.
So let's talk about where you saw these particular plants blooming, because it sounds like some place that we all would like to go and see. It's like you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the blue camas. It's kind of unusual, so this is another unusual plant that's in flower.
We saw this plant just the other day. We went on a hike through Wood Camp Hollow up to the Jardine Juniper in Logan Canyon. It's a fairly popular area. You can get there by driving east from Logan and Logan Canyon. I believe it's about 12 miles. Pull off there at the Wood Camp campground site, but don't stop in the campground. Just cross the river and go another quarter mile to the parking area. You can start the hike there. After about a half a mile, you'll start seeing the plants, mostly on the uphill side, and they'll be there for the next three quarters of a mile or so in large quantities, large numbers.
So on drier slopes or the more shaded slopes?
It's the open, dry slopes. In this case, they're the east-facing slopes because of the way the terrain goes. It grows around with sagebrush and other similar plants. There's a number of other wildflowers in the same area right now growing with it. There's a few penstemons. There's some northern sweet vetch and a few others as well, actually many others as well.
So what's going to be the best time to go see these? How long are they going to be in blossom?
I don't know for sure how long they'll last. We saw them on Father's Day. I guess they'll bloom for clear to mid-July, I'd say. You're probably seeing them.
So they're out quite a while.
Yeah, they have the stalk is huge. They're about 6 feet tall. And the young flowers, the buds will be at the top, and then the more mature flowers will be farther down, and at the bottom will be the seeds being formed. And it'll just the blooming, well, maturation will progress slowly up the stalk, and when it's all done, then I guess we can call it over.
So that's another interesting adaptation, because if it happens, if something happens to the plant, at least a few seeds develop and be deposited. But if it's a really good summer, the whole spike, what would you call?
This would be a raceme.
Okay.
That's the type of inflorescence. It's a long, straight section with the flowers on stems.
Talk about what the flowers look like, because I was quite surprised when you sent me a picture. To me, they remind me of a certain type of amaryllis.
Okay, I don't know the amaryllis,
yeah.
But from a distance, you'll see a tall stem with that has the flowers on it, the raceme. And as you get close, you'll see the smaller flowers. Now, they might be insignificant from a distance, but up close, they're really attractive. They're about an inch and a half across. They have four petals in a cross shape with purple markings on them. And then and an X across the center of the flower will be four stamens. And then there's with the pistil in the center, it's quite nice.
And as far as the name of, you brought up something a little bit earlier, an interesting fact about this particular plant.
Well, sure. Its scientific name is Fraseris speciosa, which means the showy Fraser plant, which is not very, very useful. I mentioned elkweed. It's called monument plant because it's so striking. But of special interest is the miner's name for it. In the Salt Lake area around by Alta, the miners knew it as the iron blossom. That name still exists, in a skier's lodge, the Iron Blossom Lodge. And if you look at the logo for that lodge, the iron blossom, it's a depiction of the flower, of the green gentian.
And I love the spelling of blossom.
Miners were kind of phonetic in their usage.
Now, with this particular hike, if you keep going, you'll end up at the Dardine Juniper, and was it a 10-mile?
It's a 10-mile round trip if you go all the way to the Dardine Juniper and back. And there's many other flowers to look at along the way.
And how would you rate this particular hike as far as it being strenuous or not?
I would say it'd be moderately strenuous just because of the distance. It's 10 miles. We did it in 6 hours. It's about 2,500 feet elevation gain, I think. You can go just a mile up to see the flowers or go the whole way. If you're really, really ambitious, you can go all the way to, there's a branch that'll take you to Tony Grove and beyond.
And as far as what else you'll see along the hike, you mentioned a lot of wildflowers will be out. Will you be in both dry and shady areas?
This is a nice hike because it has a wide variety, a lot of different conditions, so you have a lot of different flowers. One of the first ones you'll see on the way up in a wet area will be the Jacob's Ladder, the white polymonium, scarlet gilia along the dry slopes, the pentstemons, as I already mentioned. There's a nice spring that you'll encounter where there's some yellow columbines, one of my favorites. When you get to the top, there's a loop that you don't have to go back in your exact steps when you go to the Jardine Juniper. And then on the shady side of that loop, we found a coral root orchid, for example. Hmm. Some nice plants.
Now, we have to mention the Dardine Juniper and what it is, because a lot of people don't know how important this tree is.
Well, it certainly is well-known up here in Logan, at least I believe it is. It's one of the oldest plants that we know. It's about a 1,500 years estimated life. It's a Rocky Mountain juniper, the one that has the finer leaves than our more common lower elevation Utah juniper. It grows on a rocky outcrop, which probably is what saved its life. When you look around it, its roots are like 10 feet up in the air because the surrounding soil has washed away or eroded away, but the particular location for this juniper allowed it to be stable. It has a huge lower portion, large diameter, but it looks pretty much dead until you run your eyes up to the top and you see there's a nice little branch with green leaves still on it. It's hanging in there.
You don't get many opportunities to see a 1,500-year-old tree. So might as well see some flowers and the tree along the way.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Now, the trail itself, is it pretty well developed? You said a lot of hikers use it. Are bikers on it as well?
Yeah, the trail is multiple use. Hikers, horsemen, and bicyclists can use it.
Non-motorized, though?
No, non-motorized. Yeah. It's in excellent condition. There's a little bit of trail work going on. I saw some work on some water drainage structures, recent work, so the Forest Service has apparently been up there. But the tread is in great shape. we found one tree across the road, the trail. That was the only problem we encountered the whole way.
And you said it took you 6.5 hours?
Yeah, about 6 hours for the whole trip.
And how much stopping did you do?
Well, there was some plant photography going on, which tended to slow the group down a little bit. But for most of the time, we went at a reasonable pace.
This could be a hike for the next couple of weeks. You said mid-July?
My guess is it'll be out until mid-July, and you might find it in other places and at other elevations as well.
Okay, and we'll have maps on our website. Go to upr.org and click on programs, and then you'll see a drop-down menu. Just go to the Zesty Garden and find this particular topic, and you'll be able to get these. They're topographical maps, and I love that you put arrows on here that show kind of where to look for the Fusaria.
Frasera,
okay.
Or elkweed, or monument plant, whatever you want.
Monument plant sounds pretty good. All right. Thank you very much for coming in again.
Thank you.